Good evening, everyone. So that's what it feels like when your heart is beating out of your chest. Thank you all for coming tonight. As much as I'm nervous, I'm also incredibly excited to share my testimony with you. I was nervous about speaking from the pulpit and in front of all of you, but Carson encouraged me, and others, of course, and they remind me that you are my family, and you deserve to hear my testimony just as much as my relatives, coworkers, and others that I've shared it with. So that really made me thinking and seriously consider it. So with prayers and consultation with others, I felt encouraged that I knew that I needed to go ahead and ask the elders for the opportunity to share mine. So thank you for allowing me to do that tonight. And one more thing, I got a great tip from Jesse. He told me that if I ever feel too nervous, I should bend one knee so I don't faint. So, but if I do, Jesse, you better be quick coming here. Throughout my testimony, I'll be sharing how God saved me both physically and spiritually, the people he placed in my life to lead me to him, and how my life looked before Christ and how it has changed after knowing him. I just want to pray quickly. Father, thank you so much for this great opportunity that you provided. Thank you, Father, for allowing this opportunity to share my testimony with brothers and sisters at the chapel, and may it be encouraging to everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we go. I'm originally from Syria, born and raised in Damascus, the capital city. I was born into a Catholic slash Orthodox family, and the reason why I say that is because my father and his side of family would identify as Catholic Christians, while my mother and her family would identify themselves as Orthodox Christians. In our culture, children generally take their father's side, his last name, his hometown, and even his religion. So growing up, I would say that I was a Catholic Christian. But this difference in background never affected the relationship between my parents or between us and them. We would attend both Catholic and Orthodox churches at different times, depending on the occasion. We didn't get into theology, we just simply went to church and celebrated Easter, Christmas, and other holidays together. Sometimes we would even celebrate Easter on different dates because of the calendar differences, but even then, the focus on the celebrations was mostly on food, clothes, and gathering with family. Yes, church was part of it, but it was more of a tradition or routine. As for me personally, I tried to go to church every Sunday, attend Mass, and take part of the communion. But as soon as church was over, I would go back to my regular life between Sundays. Between Sundays, there was barely any prayer, no Bible reading, and not much thought about God. The way I understood Christianity at that time was go to church, celebrate the holidays, and be a good person. I knew Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, but I never really grasped the full meaning or purpose behind it. Fast forward to 2011. This was when things really started to escalate in Syria. The situation was becoming more complex with multiple countries getting involved, and the war officially began. Because Damascus is the capital, it was considered one of the safest places in Syria at that time. However, the surrounding areas were full of violence. We would regularly hear gunshots, heavy military equipment being used, helicopters flying overhead, and even fighter jets. These sounds became part of our daily lives. As strange as it may sound, we were getting used to it, and it was becoming part of our daily lifestyle. My uncles had foreseen that actually was going to fall, that Syria was going to eventually fall into war, and decided to immigrate to Canada. So they had a relative in PEI who helped them build their paperwork, and they arrived in early 2000 and 2010, both of my uncles. When the war began in 2011, things weren't too bad at first, but over the next couple of years, things got worse. My father ran a business back home and was the most resistant to leaving. He loved his home, his country, and didn't want to leave his parents behind. My mom also felt the same way about her family and relatives. But what changed my dad's mind, was something that happened in 2013 that could have ended my life. I remember sitting on the terrace of our house. It was like open terrace to the sky, no roof. I was just leaning forward on my phone, minding my own business, and I could hear gunshots in the distance, but like I mentioned, we were getting used to it, so I was paying no attention to the gunshots. Suddenly, I just felt this something heavy and sharp hit my back, and I jumped in shock, and I was so confused. And because of the shock, I thought one of the neighbors had thrown something on me, and they like quickly ran inside their house and shut the door. But moments later, my whole family came running out, asking if I was okay. I was surprised. They somehow knew that something happened. My dad later told me that when they were sitting in the living room, they heard this loud bang. It's like someone slammed like a heavy pot on the floor, on the ground. So it turned out it wasn't a rock after all. It was a stray bullet. The neighbors had shut the door out of fear. By God's mercy, the bullet didn't go through me. It grazed only my back and then deflected backwards. It landed just a few feet behind the chair I was sitting on. The floor was even scratched where it landed. I'm no gun expert, but if I had been sitting upright instead of leaning forward, the bullet could have easily gone through my head. That's when my dad made the decision to seriously pursue getting us out of Syria. And my uncles helped us with the immigration process, and we eventually arrived in 2015, just after the big winter. After we settled in, we heard about a church that makes service both in Arabic and English, the St. Peter and Paul Orthodox Church. I started attending there for a while, but slowly began drifting away. I was getting more and more bored, life got busy, and I just began to lose interest, and eventually I stopped going there, except sometimes I would go there for memorials or special events. But later, after I stopped going to church completely and started working and making money, I felt a sense of freedom. I wanted to experience everything, so I started slipping, partying, going to clubs, drinking, and so on. There were times over the years when I thought of seriously ending my life. I'd find myself going down rabbit holes in my head, thinking about how we came into existence, how vast the space is, and where does it end, being overwhelmed by the thought of death. Even though I had grown up going to church and knowing about Jesus, I didn't have a real relationship with him. I wasn't sure where I would go after I died. It was during that time when I was struggling the most that God started sending people into my life. People who pointed me toward him through the power of the Holy Spirit. I tried my best to go back and remember them all and give some time for each individual. So one time I was fishing for mackerel near the Delta Hotel when a man approached me. He was very friendly and started a conversation. He definitely used fishing as a way to break the ice. I don't remember the full conversation, but I do remember that he shared the gospel with me and handed me a tract. As he spoke, everything was going one ear and out the other. I felt, after he left, I took the tract that he gave me and threw it in the garbage. Not long after, I started seeing him around the streets, yelling out messages. Sometimes I'd run into him in stores and tried to avoid him, but I watched him. Every time he approached someone, whether on the street or at a store checkout, he would share the gospel. He did not spare anyone. If you haven't guessed by now who that person is, it's Joseph Chapman. Then there was Stephanie at work. She shared the gospel with me. I genuinely wanted to believe what she was saying, but there was a sin in my life that I was clinging on so tightly that I could not let go, that I didn't want to let go. I actually attended the church that she goes to, but stopped attending after a couple of times. Another person was Joseph, my friend's father. He had gone through a lot of trauma in his life, but through those hardships, him and his wife came to know the Lord. One time we were visiting their house after a death in the family, he began talking to me about how short life is, the importance of knowing our Creator, and the need to read the Bible, especially with others. I nodded along, and once again, I just moved on. Then there's Anna, my sister. While she wasn't necessarily saved before coming to the chapel, she always had a strong faith in God. She constantly searched for a church and longed to know him personally. Over the years, she would encourage me to read the Bible and go to church, but most times I would say no, and we end up in agreements. She also started reading the Bible and encouraged me to do the same. My excuse was always, I never read a book before, how can I read the Bible? But one time I went on Google and started reading from Genesis. I remember thinking, what is this boring book? I only got through the first few chapters before giving up and deciding I could not do it. There was another time where I was celebrating a friend's birthday at Canoe Cove Christian Camp. Off to the side, I noticed this couple with a group of kids. They were singing songs and reading the Bible. I remember thinking, what are those people doing? But something led me to talk to him, to the man leading to the group. His name was Mike Giz. He's from Lebanon and works in church planting over there, but he visits occasionally to PI. I asked him about what they were doing, and sure enough, he started sharing the gospel with me. He gave me a New Testament Bible in Arabic and encouraged me to read it. I took it home, set it aside, and did not touch it for about 2.5 years. Now, fast forward to just a few months before I attended the chapel for the first time. I was using this app, TikTok. Basically, you scroll through videos, and the more time you spend on certain types of content, the more similar videos you'll see. So one day I was scrolling through a bunch of random videos and boring videos until I came across one that caught my attention. It was a man on university campus having deep discussions with students gathered around him. What he was saying really spoke to me, and there was a lot of questions that I had that he was answering. I kept watching more and more, and with TikTok's algorithm, the more you see of something, the more it appears. So the more Christian content started appearing on TikTok. And this guy's name is Cliff Kinnickel. I'm not sure if I said that his last name correct. Around the same time, my sister came to me on a Saturday night and asked if I wanted to go to church the next morning. For some reason, I couldn't refuse, and I said yes. That Sunday, I went. As soon as I walked in, I could feel that it was a completely different environment from what I was used to. The music was different, beautiful. Then came the sermon. I had never heard anything like this. It was bold, it was direct, it was convicting. And of course, the speaker was Leonard. Leonard's message that day opened my eyes. When he talked about how we'll all stand before God one day, I was scared. I realized I didn't know where I stood. He presented the gospel so clearly, like this is the truth, and there's no other way. That night after this service, I went home and searched for the Bible that Mike Giz, the guy from Lebanon, gave me 3 years ago. I took off the dust off of it, and I found it. And I found it, I took off the dust of it, and I started reading from Matthew. When I got to the Sermon on the Mount, I realized how far I had drifted from the faith. For the first time, I began to understand what it really means to be a Christian, to be born again, and to have a personal relationship with God. It was like the scales were slowly falling from my eyes, and I was beginning to see the light. After attending the chapel a few times and inviting Rafa to come with me, which is a whole other testimony of how God worked in her life, Carson came up to me and introduced himself. Him and Sarah, a few days later, invited us to their home, where they shared the gospel, where they shared more with us about the gospel. At one point, Carson gave me a simple but powerful example. He held out a book and said, "This is a gift. What do you do?" And I just stood there overthinking it, trying to come up with the right answer. Then both Carson and Sarah smiled and said, "Just receive it and accept it." So that was it, that simple. And one night, before bed, I just finally broke down and prayed, and I said, "Father, I just believe that Jesus died for my sins. I'm sorry for trying to do things on my own. I want to trust in you, and I want to commit myself to you." I still can't fully grasp it, how he saved me, how he patiently waited for me, and how many people he sent into my life to lead me towards him. But I'm here now by his grace. I am saved. Before Christ, I feared death. I feared sickness. I feared the unknown. Now I always remind myself of these two verses from Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And from Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I thank God for saving me, for saving Rafa, for saving my siblings, and for how he's still working in our families to bring others to him. Please continue praying for our families and relatives. Please pray for me that God may use me for his glory. Thank you all for listening, and I hope that my story has been encouraging to you all. You have been such a great family to me and Rafa, and I'm so grateful that God has provided a family in Christ to us. Thank you.